Let's turn in the Word of God this evening to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The Word of God at Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. It's those last two verses that we look at this evening. I'll read them again. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are faced this evening with this text, with the most basic question. And that question is, what is this life all about? It's a good question to ask when we reflect upon everything that takes place around us, when we look in the newspapers and we read on the internet all of the events of this world, when more close to us we look at our own lives, we think about the future, we think about the past. At times we can ask ourselves this question, this most basic question, what is this life all about? As Reformed Christians, we know the answer to that question, but at the same time, it's good to ask that question and be faced with it every once in a while. And that's what this passage does for us. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, the book in which Solomon, considering this world in which we are living, says everything under the sun is vanity. And because it's all vanity, the conclusion that he comes to is this, and this is what our life is all about and must be all about. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. It's right there. What's this life all about? What must your life be all about in absolutely everything you do? It's this: fear God and keep His commandments. There are three reasons I'm preaching on this text this evening. The first is that it's very appropriate for a confession of faith. This is the word of God to you this evening, Jenna. Fear God and keep His commandments. The second reason I'm preaching on this text is that this is an applicatory sermon. As a congregation, beloved, we need to show ourselves to be thankful for what we celebrated this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. How do we show that we are thankful? It's this right here. Fear God and keep His commandments. And the third reason I'm preaching on this text is that this week marks the beginning of family visitation for us as a congregation. And the passage of God's Word that we are going to read together in our homes is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. A few weeks ago when we had our last confession of faith, I preached on the beginning of this chapter. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And now in light of family visitation, which begins this week, I preach on the end of the chapter, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. So for those reasons, we open this Word of God tonight, and we use as our theme something entirely different from what I have in the bulletin. I reworked this a little bit. The theme of the sermon tonight is the conclusion of the whole matter. That's the point of these two verses, the conclusion of the whole matter. And then the three points of the sermon are the meaning, the reason, and then the end. The meaning, focusing mostly this evening on that idea of fearing God and keeping His commandments. The reason that is true, the end of verse 13, this is the whole duty of man. And then in the last place, we'll see the end and see how verse 14 fits into what we're talking about tonight. The conclusion of the whole matter, the meaning, the reason, and the end. Solomon, at the end of Ecclesiastes, calls our attention to the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, when Solomon writes the conclusion of the whole matter, he is not referring simply to the fact that this is the last thing that he writes in the book of Ecclesiastes. Sometimes that's the way that we think about the conclusion. We write a paper and at the end we use the word conclusion to simply point out that this is the very last thing that I'm going to say in this paper. That's not the idea of the word conclusion in the passage. The idea of the word here in the passage is that this is the summary, or this is the purpose of the whole matter, that is, of everything that we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's what a good writer or a good speaker does. He gets to the end, and he wants to make sure that those who read or those who hear what is being said do not miss the main point. Solomon wants us to understand that there's something that ties together everything that he has said in Ecclesiastes. And this is it. He's led by the Spirit to tie this all together and say, really, the purpose of everything that I have written is so that we would understand as the people of God this truth. Fear God and keep His commandments. He really emphasizes it too. He doesn't just state it at the very end, fear God and keep His commandments, but he prefaces it with these words that we're using as the theme of the sermon. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, I don't want you to miss this. You need to understand this. Everything else you read in this book wouldn't be as profitable as it could be without understanding this conclusion. And he emphasizes it even more by including himself in it. Let us hear. You need to hear this. Who are going to be reading this? But so important is this that I need to hear this, who am writing it. All of us, you as congregation, myself as preacher, need to understand this all-important conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. It's important for us tonight to look at this truth of fearing God and keeping His commandments in harmony with the fact that it is the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. In other words, we're not going to just look at what fearing God and keeping His commandments mean. That has a meaning in and of itself. Those are two truths, of course, that we find in many places in the Scriptures. But in light of this being the conclusion of the matter, it's imperative that we understand the meaning of fearing God and keeping His commandments in the context, in harmony with everything that we have in the book of Ecclesiastes. So that needs to be our focus this evening as we explain this conclusion of the whole matter. First, we do need to understand simply what these ideas are, fearing God and keeping His commandments. The fear of God is the attitude of our heart in which we understand that we stand before the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And when we reflect upon God, we stand in awe of that God, and we understand, because of who God is, that that God must be served, honored, and worshipped. That's the fear of God. It's the recognition, the consciousness every single day that we as mere specks of dust here on this earth are standing before the sovereign God of all things and in reverential awe realize that that God must be worshipped. The emphasis of the fear of God is on our hearts, our minds, our souls, what's in us. And then we get to the second part, which is what we do in response to that. But stay on this idea of the fear of God for a moment. Fearing God is going outside, for example, and on a clear day, simply staring up into the expanse of this universe. Especially at night when you see the stars and you see the moon and you realize that you are this big in contrast to this amazing universe that we are a part of. And then you recognize that all of this was simply created by the power of the Word of God. You stand in awe of the Creator and you realize in your heart that this Creator must be worshipped. Fearing God is going to the Scriptures and reading everything we have in the Scriptures that explains who God is and everything that God has done, especially the work of salvation in Jesus Christ, and responding in this way. There is no God like the God of the Scriptures. He is to be worshipped and feared. Fearing God, beloved, is the attitude of our heart and soul of standing in reverential awe to the God of all things. Fear God, Solomon says, and keep His commandments. Keeping His commandments is doing what God's will is for us in our lives. We know what the will of God is. The will of God is revealed to us in the Scriptures. The will of God is summarized with those two commandments that we hear every Sunday morning. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then when we consider all of the Word of God that has all of His precepts, we realize that all of those are simply flowing out of that great commandment, which is especially one, love God with all of your being. And the fruit of that will be a love for your neighbor as yourself. There's a relationship between fearing God and keeping His commandments. And the relationship, very simply, is this, that if you have the fear of God, as I described it, the inevitable fruit of that will be keeping His commandments. That's what we read, for example, concerning the Old Testament Saint Job. First thing that we read about Job, in Job 1 verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job feared God. He understood who God was. He stood in awe of that God as the God who was to be worshipped. And as a result, he eschewed evil. That's simply the negative of what is stated positively in our text. He feared God and kept His commandments. Beloved, if you have this fear of God in your heart, if you know who God is and stand in awe of that God, what you're going to want to do is this. You recognize that He must be obeyed. And you're going to strive day by day to understand what His will is for you in your life and obey that will. That's what Jenna confessed this evening. She confessed that that's what's in her heart, and she confessed that that's what was her desire. Part of her confession of faith was saying, I understand who I am, a mere speck of dust, created by the sovereign God, and I know that that God is to be served. And I desire, therefore, in all of my life, to obey Him. That's what we confessed this morning when we partook of communion, putting our faith in Jesus Christ, which is part of the fear of God in a true sense. This must be our life, fearing God and keeping His commandments. Now we need to go back to that point that I made earlier. And that is that this is the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon says. We need to go back to the point that I made when I said that we need to understand the fear of God and the keeping of His commandments in the context of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Why is this, fearing God and keeping His commandments, the conclusion of the whole matter, as he says in this text? In order to understand that, we need to say some things about the book of Ecclesiastes. What is the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes? If I were to ask you the question, quote something from the book of Ecclesiastes prior to the sermon that I preached a few weeks ago on verse 1 of chapter 12, what would you have given as your answer? It's likely the case that if someone came to you out of the blue and said, tell me something about Ecclesiastes, or quote a portion of Ecclesiastes, what would have come to your mind are these words, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. We read that together in verse 8 as he's wrapping up the teaching of this book. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. But just as the end, as we are considering it, is very important in relation to the whole book, the beginning is also very important. And this is the way that Solomon starts off the book, indicating thereby that this is the purpose, in part, of the book. The words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity of vanities, breath of breaths, literally. Solomon reflects upon his life, reflects upon this world. And he wants those who read this book to understand it. And so to summarize everything under the sun, as he says later in the book, he says, all is vanity. All is breath. All is empty. Emphasizing thereby the fleeting nature of everything under the sun. It's breath. Here for a moment, gone in a second. You go outside when it's been bitterly cold and you breathe and you see it. But how long do you see it? It's there for a moment and then it's gone. Solomon looks at everything and he says, vanity of vanities. And that leads him to this conclusion. If that is true as we look at everything under the sun in our lives here on this earth, It leads him to this conclusion: fear God and keep His commandments. Directly in contrast to that which is fleeting, here today, gone tomorrow, Solomon draws our attention to that which is eternal and lasting, fearing God and keeping His commandments. And then he calls attention to that final judgment day, which ushers in the eternal realities. We need to view this world in the proper light. And the conclusion to which he comes is that everything of this earth is vanity. And what that means as believers is that we need to live our lives with God front and center before us in everything, because God and the fear of God is that which has eternal significance. We need to draw the connection even tighter, because the reality is that we're living on this earth. We're under the sun right now. We live our lives day to day. We are doing things. Is our response to Solomon saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, this, that we try to escape from this world? Since it's all vanity, why am I even living? I shouldn't even be living here on this earth anymore. Is our response that we are going to try to separate ourselves from this world as much as possible? Go live as a monk or a nun or practice asceticism, the discipline of removing ourselves as much as possible from earthly things? Is that our response? Of course not. What we need to realize is that everything is vanity, everything is pointless, everything is meaningless and even sinful when we view everything and when we do everything outside of this, the fear of God and the obedience to His commandments. That's the connection that we need to see. All is vanity, yes. But he says, fear God and keep His commandments. What gives meaning to your life here on this earth? It's this, the fear of God and the obedience to His commandments. But if you do everything and if you view everything outside of God, outside of doing His commandments, then truly all is vanity. This gives us the proper view of this world in which we live and our lives here on this earth. And that's how we need to be thinking in our life. In and through everything I do, this is what gives meaning to it. I fear God and keep His commandments. And if I don't, all is vanity. The applications are rich and many. Children, young people, think about your life going to school. If you're going to school without ever thinking about God, if you're going to school not in obedience to the commandments of God, it's pointless. It's vain. It's empty. It's vanity. Even if you get good grades, what gives meaning to what you do as a student? Speaking now especially to you who can understand junior high, high school. What gives meaning to going to school every day and doing your work and working hard? It's the fear of God and the obedience to His commandments. You go to school in such a way that you realize I'm studying so that I understand God better. And be thankful, therefore, for the Christian school that God has given to you. And I'm working hard in my day-to-day life as a student, not to get good grades, to get into a college, but I'm working hard because I recognize I stand before God. And He requires, in obedience to His word to me, that I work hard. If you're not going to school in the consciousness that you stand before God and must fear Him and obey Him, all of it is pointless. And not only that, it's stronger than that. It's sinful. In and through your schoolwork, your life as a student, fear God and keep His commandments. This is how you need to think going forward in your life. Take someone, for example, similar to Jenna in her position, and there's a lot of you here tonight. I can see you, high schoolers, or right after high school, where you stand before your life, especially now when you need to make decisions regarding what you're going to do. If you're not doing it in the consciousness of the fear of God and in the obedience to His commandments, it's all vanity. It's all pointless. That's what needs to drive you in why you want to be a teacher or why you want to work in the medical field. Because I want to fear God and obey His commandments in and through that. That's what gives meaning to what I am doing. All of us who are called to work, either as employers or employees, but most of our life is spent working. What gives meaning to what you're doing in your job? If you're simply going through the motions of going to work every day, selling this product or creating this product or working on this job site, but never do you have in your consciousness God and obedience to His commandments, it's all vanity. But you need to be thinking day by day as an employer or an employee the truth of this. My life in this world is governed by this truth. I stand before God, and that's why I'm working. God has given me gifts. He's given me abilities. He's given me strength. And I serve Him in the work that I do. And I want to work in order to support my family and to support the church and to support the kingdom causes. That's what gives meaning my life and the work that I do. Mothers in the home, same thing. If you're just changing diapers and keeping the home in order and feeding your children and washing clothes simply because that's what you need to do, understand that there's mothers throughout the world doing the exact same thing. What gives significance to what you do as mothers and keepers in the home? It's this, the fear of God and obedience to His commandments. That's why you keep your home the way you do. Because orderliness is a reflection of God. And I don't want my house to be chaos because I want to be good stewards of that which God has given me. And I want to be a good example, a godly example, every day in everything I do for my children. And you could go on and on and on and on. Beloved, what gives meaning? It's this, in and through everything. We fear God and keep His commandments. Why? Why, when He comes to the end of the book, is this the conclusion? The reason is stated at the end of verse 13. For this is the whole duty of man. Why? Very simply, because that's God's command for us. There's two ways to look at this, and both of them are implied in each other, and so it's good to draw out both of these. One way is exactly as we have it here, for this is the whole duty of man. The answer to the question of why fear God and why keep His commandments, very simply, is that this is our duty that comes to us from God. God has a command for us, and He says, do this. That was the command, the duty for Adam and Eve in the beginning. The very beginning, when God created them, He said, fear me, keep my commandments. They didn't. And now we experience the result of that as sinful creatures. But that command, that duty still remains. And the emphasis here is on the whole duty of man. This is our purpose in life. And that's what I was getting at the end of the first point. When I talked about in and through everything, we must fear God and keep His commandments. And now that's reiterated even more in the end of this passage, in verse 13. And we can re-emphasize that right now. This must be everything that we do. This must be everything that we are. This is why God created us. Yes, God created Adam and Eve, and they fell on their own account. But this is still the purpose of our life here on this earth, according to the command of God, to fear Him and obey His commandments. It's everything. It's what we do on the Lord's Day, but it's also what we do on Friday night. It's what we do in our homes when we're around our wife and when we're around our children, but it's also what we do when we're with our co-workers and when we're with our friends. It's what we do in the halls of covenant and the halls of heritage when our teachers are walking by. But it's what we do on our date, Friday night. And it's what we do with our friends on Saturday night. This must be our everything. Because this is the word that God gives to us. Fear Him and keep His commandments. The other way to look at this, and this is implied in that first point, is that this is the duty of all men. Not the whole duty of man, but the duty of all men. And that's true. The command that comes to all men is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we hear that tonight as believers. And we're thankful to God that we hear that tonight as believers, so that when we hear that, we are able to understand our own sin, confess those, and understand that the Spirit in us so that we strive day by day to obey this commandment. I bring this up because this is something that we can use in our confession to others. We witnessed tonight a confession of faith. And part of that confession of faith is a willingness to make this confession, which is this text. Not just here in the friendly atmosphere of the church or in the consistory room, but a willingness to make this confession and our witness to the world around us. And we just had a couple of weeks for a witnessing seminar. And we have these things in our mind, and this is something that we can use in our witness, in our confession to the world. We talked about that last week, Wednesday, the very practical things that we can talk about in our lives in order to engage in discussions with others about God and the truth. Well, what about this? What about this? The fact that I live my life in everything I do with this singular purpose in mind, fearing God and keeping His commandments. If you're on a college campus, how many discussions revolve around what you're taking and what you are majoring in and what your intention is after college? What are all of those questions but a form of this question? What's your life all about? Why are you doing what you are doing? As a Christian young man or a Christian young woman, think about the confession that you may have made, and think about your witness to the world. And what an opportunity to say, this is what I'm doing. I desire in all my life, because I stand before a God to fear Him and obey Him. And I want to do that in the work that I'm going to try to do as a teacher or as one who works in the medical field. I stand before this God and I want to serve Him in and through this work that I do. And then you turn it around. Do you know that God? Do you stand before that God? Do you serve that God? What's your purpose in life? Because this duty, this whole duty for our lives is the duty that comes before all men. And what an opportunity to bring the gospel when we talk about our existence and purpose in a life, in a world concerning which Solomon says all is vanity, which leads him to say, fear God and keep His commandments. That's the reason. Very simply, this is the command that comes to us as men on this earth, ultimately because God is Creator. Don't forget the beginning of Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now thy Creator. The only reason you're here is because God created you and created this world in which we live. And as Creator, God has the prerogative to say, this is what you must do in everything you do. Fear Me and keep My commandments. And that's with the end in mind, as Creator who must be served and feared in all things, all men one day will stand before Him in the end. And that's verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Christ is the judge, says God there, but we read this in light of the New Testament, and we know that God will judge all men through Jesus Christ. Christ came to this earth, He accomplished perfectly the work of God, dying on the cross, rising from the grave, ascending into heaven, and now sits at God's right hand. He rules over all, He rules over all men, and one day, Jesus Christ will return on the clouds of glory to judge all men. Beloved, at that judgment, exactly this will be true. For God shall bring every work into judgment. That's the emphasis. Every work, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And this goes back to everything that we've been talking about. What are we called to do? What is our whole duty that comes to every man in and through everything we do? The calling comes to us, fear Him and obey His commandments. And therefore, in the end, every work in connection with that command will be brought into judgment. It'll be laid bare before the King, Jesus Christ, and a verdict will be rendered. And the verdict that will be rendered is only one of two things. It's either righteous or guilty. And with both of those verdicts come eternal states. With the verdict of guilty will come eternal destruction. With the verdict of righteous will come eternal life. Just the opposite of the vanity of vanities. These realities are firm, steadfast, forever. And that's why this is, in the end, the conclusion of the matter. That one day we will stand before Jesus Christ and everything will be laid bare and that verdict will be rendered. What will the verdict be for you and for me? Righteous. Why? Because of Jesus. That's what this confession of faith tonight was. It was the confession of a young woman who understood that if she stood before this King on that judgment day in herself, the verdict undoubtedly would be guilty. In the end, would be destruction. But what she confessed tonight, and what we together this morning confessed in our partaking of communion, is that we can read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, with confidence that the verdict that will be rendered on that judgment day is righteous, innocent, worthy to live with God forever. It's because Jenna, and that's because all of us this morning confessed our faith in Jesus Christ, the only ground for our salvation on that judgment day. Believe. Believe in Jesus. The only hope on that day when we will stand before the King. He bore that wrath on Calvary's cross, covering all of those sins. He gives us a new life, which we read according to 1 John, produces in our lives here on this earth works that are well-pleasing to God. It's our only hope when we will stand before that King on that judgment day. And it's in the consciousness of that judgment and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that we go forth in our lives here on this earth. And this is what brings it all together. We know that that's the end. We know that that's our eternal state and what is to come for us. We understand that this life, as it is right now, is all vanity. So how do we put this all together? We live in the consciousness of that eternal state, and we strive in all that we do to fear God and keep His commandments. We know by the grace of God that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And therefore, we don't just go through this life throwing our arms up in the air and saying, it's all pointless, it's all meaningless. No, we say, I have significance in this life because I want, out of thanks and out of love, day by day, every day, in all that I do, to fear Him and to obey His commandments. And you wake up every single day and you desire to do that out of love and thanks. And at the end of the day and throughout the day when you fail, you flee to that cross and you're confident that in Jesus there is salvation. And you wake up the next day and you do it again. And is that not the Christian life? We go forward in the consciousness of standing before God with the desire out of love and thanks to fear Him. Fear God, Jenna, and keep His commandments. All of God's people, fear Him and keep His commandments, and do so putting your faith in Jesus Christ with the hope of salvation in Him alone. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this word that we could consider this evening. We pray, Lord, that it might be edifying to us, that we may go forward in our lives doing exactly this, in all of our life, fearing Thee and obeying Thy commandments. We thank Thee for Jesus, who forgives through His precious death on the cross all of our sins. It's in His name alone that we pray. Amen.